On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We start with a pair of division administrators with the Public Service Commission. The PSC regulates public utilities in our state. More than 1,100 utilities are under its jurisdiction. Electric, gas, solar, pipeline safety, broadband. What do you want to ask the PSC? What questions do you have about proposals to build pipelines, transmission lines, or other projects in Wisconsin's energy network? We're at 800-642-1234. Christy Nieto and Martin Day are division administrators for the PSC. Christy heads the Division of Digital Access and Consumer and Environmental Affairs. Martin oversees the Division of Energy Regulation and Analysis. Christy, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having us today.
And Martin, thank you for being here.
Kate, thank you. Thank you for having us. Early Monday morning.
Early Monday, right. Well, Martin, let's start with you. Next month, the Public Service Commission plans to lift its moratorium on disconnecting water, electricity, and heat services for utility customers with unpaid bills. Why end the moratorium?
So I think Christy might be able to handle this question a little better than I can, but I believe the moratorium was decided by the commission a couple weeks ago at their open meeting, and there was a lot of discussion, but probably a question better answered by Christy.
All right, Christy, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Kate. So the commission, like Martin said, a couple of weeks ago made a decision to essentially set dates to unwind or ramp down various emergency temporary provisions it had put in place to protect customers and utilities around all of the unusual and difficult circumstances that have come with COVID-19. And one of those emergency temporary provisions was around disconnecting. So usually utilities cannot disconnect service during the winter months. And then come April 15th, that moratorium on disconnections ends. So this year, that moratorium stayed in place. And the commission, when looking at that decision and looking for a path to unwind that temporary provision, set a date of July 15th. For disconnection notices to be issued by utilities, and then July 25th for the first available date for a disconnection to happen. And a number of factors, I think, went into that decision, and a lot of that was feedback and comments filed in the commission's proceeding. A lot of that was a matter of allowing sufficient time for customers to enter into payment agreements in time to be established before the first disconnections could occur, notices could go out.
Do you have any indication from the utilities how much financial pressure they're under due to unpaid bills?
I can probably take that one, Kate. Christy, you want me to take that one?
Yeah, that'd be great, Martin.
Sure. So as Christy mentioned, you know, the commission took early action, realizing, you know, the severity of the COVID emergency and really tried to balance all of the interests, you know, both utility ratepayers, you know, the utilities and the state. And in balancing that, they put a number of measures in place to really try to protect everyone, given the uncertain times. The utilities reporting so far, and the commission has asked the utilities to report back on things like unpaid bills, different financial pressures that they've received. We've just started getting those reports back. There's not a lot of complete data yet, just because the systems take a while to get that information. But the preliminary results are that the unpaid bills are definitely higher than historical averages.
Yeah, We Energies was reporting its amount of unpaid bills has grown by nearly 17 million compared to its 3-year average.
Yeah. So those numbers are definitely up, and the commission has put a system in place where the utilities are allowed to defer those expenses, and then at some point the utilities will, you know, deal with those costs, and then the commission will have an opportunity, along with the public and the other stakeholders, will have an opportunity to kind of talk about and discuss and put forward proposals on how to deal with that.
We're talking about Wisconsin's public utilities with two state regulators, Martin Day and Christy Nieto. They're division administrators for the Public Service Commission. You can join in. What questions do you have for the PSC? What do you want to know about the regulation of utilities? What are your top concerns with our state utilities? We're at 800-642-1234. Christy, let's look at broadband. The pandemic has forced so many people to work remotely. There's telehealth now, and there's, you know, more urgency to improve access to high-speed internet. Are there new efforts underway to address that immediate need from the pandemic?
There are definitely, like you said, Kate, the need for so many to work from home, for all the students in the state to be able to study and learn from home, telehealth, all of these critical needs that arose and were really highlighted and underscored by social distancing and COVID-19 just have really highlighted the gap, the digital gap that we have in Wisconsin around access to broadband, whether it's areas that are in rural Wisconsin that don't have access to broadband facilities, or whether it's an issue of households that can't afford broadband service, or there are other adoption issues. So a few things that we've been working at the Public Service Commission and that we began working on immediately in response to COVID-19 on more of an emergency basis was we set up an internet and phone helpline for the public. So it's basically a one-stop shop for anyone in the state to call for whatever reason a person doesn't have access to internet or to telephone services. We have folks on the line available to walk through and to help either, maybe it's identifying a provider, maybe it's identifying a private discount or identifying lifeline benefits, a grant project that's happening nearby that might result in an improved service, and just walking through what can be kind of a complex landscape to navigate for folks who are looking for help in that regard.
The state wants everyone to have affordable access to broadband by 2025. How close is that to reality?
Yes, it's a complex problem, and that is definitely an aggressive goal. It's something that is doable, but it really will need a multifaceted, focused approach, including funding for broadband expansion grants. It'll include digital access and affordability initiatives. There's quite a bit of work to go. And then there's, of course, federal funding and build out going into that as well. But as we sit right now, according to the FCC's 2020 report, we have about 410,000 people in Wisconsin who lack access to a fixed broadband service with a basic speed of 25.3, which is 25 megabits per second download.
We have a pair of division administrators from the PSC, the State Public Service Commission, Martin Day and Christy Nieto. We're discussing utility oversight in the state amid the pandemic. What questions do you have about broadband access? What do you want to know about the Cardinal Hickory Creek transmission line in the Driftless, or Enbridge's Line 5 in northern Wisconsin, or another project regulated by the PSC? Join in at 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with more State Cap on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have a pair of division administrators from the PSC, the Wisconsin Public Service Commission. The PSC has three full-time commissioners who regulate utility ratepayer changes and the building of large power plants, major transmission lines. What are your top concerns with Wisconsin utilities? Do you see problems with reliability or access to electricity, heat, water, broadband? Have you sought help from the state for unpaid utility bills? Did you get relief? Join in 800-642-1234. PSC Division Administrators Martin Day and Christy Nieto stay with us. Let's take a call now. Judy is with us from Irma this morning. Hi, Judy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I'm glad that these commissioners are on. My concern are the high increase in our utility bills in the last 10 years. Our state used to have one of the lowest utility rates in the Midwest, and now it's gone right through the roof. A lot of that is from the fixed rate fees, which have gone sky high. I was absent a month from my home in Irma, Wisconsin, and my utility bill was $80, and that was with using virtually nothing. Not even the refrigerator was on. So I'd like to see a reduction in those fixed rate fees. I don't think that that's at all consumer friendly. And I'm pretty outraged by this trend over the last few years. And I think what it stems from is utilities are wanting it because of solar potentially depleting their fees.
Judy, thank you for bringing this to the table. Martin, I want to pose Judy's question to you. What is going on with these fixed rate fees?
Yeah, the fixed rate fees and the overall, let's put it in the broader context, is the rates that utilities are charging. The fixed rate fees, probably about 6 to 8 years ago, a lot of the utilities had made changes to their rate structure and increased their fixed rate charges. A lot of that came out of the discussion just of how utilities are recovering their costs, whether it be variable or fixed rate. And there was a lot of discussion, as I said, about 6 to 8 years ago. Since that time, the fixed rates, at least for many of the larger investor-owned utilities, really haven't changed significantly. Now, overall rate impacts, if you look at those over that period of time, they have gone up, but, they've gone up less than the rate of inflation. So they're keeping pace, at least with the rate of inflation. But, yeah, the fixed rate charge, is an issue, and it's an issue for many low-usage customers. So it's something that's highly debated. The stakeholders, such as Citizens Utility Board, does a lot in terms of, advocating on behalf of customers on that issue.
What are these fees going toward?
So the fees overall, again, it's not just one component of a utility or an energy bill for a customer. You really have to look at it in context of, the fixed charge they pay and the variable rate they pay. So a lot of times when there were, or most cases when there are increases in the fixed rate, there were decreases in the variable rate, the rate per kilowatt hour or per therm of gas that you're using. But all that is generally dealt with and handled in a rate proceeding before the commission.
Judy, thank you. Let's bring in Phil now in Kingston. Hi, Phil.
Hi, thank you. I live in Kingston, which is in Green Lake County. And the thing here is just the sparsity of internet and availability. The maximum speed we get here right in town is only 10 meg, and that's only been recently been increased in speed. It was always 5. Some of the areas only had 768 kilobits, and they're paying $50 a month, 768, only through squawking and begging. Maybe we can get maybe 5 meg. It's all POTS line out here, or you have to go with mobile broadband. Of course, that's expensive, and you have data caps. So with broadband expansion, I would hope, that we could get some decent speeds out here. Under Obama, trying to change the FCC regulation, Obama was trying to get the change where you couldn't even call it broadband unless it was at least 25 meg. We just can't get that out here.
Phil, thank you. I want to field that to Christy. Why is high-speed internet still lacking, particularly in rural communities?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's depending on the community and area, there are so many different factors that go into it. But of course, when you're looking at areas of Wisconsin where there's lower population density, those areas become higher cost to serve. And there's a direct relationship there. Sometimes it also has to do with the terrain of an area as well. And sometimes the facilities that are already existing in an area may be aging facilities offering slow speeds that need to be either upgraded or overhauled. And so I think that's a great point. There are some areas in the state that have maybe 10-1 speeds or slower speeds than that. With the way that we use the internet today, those speeds are slow.
Is there enough competition to get speeds up and to get people access and choices?
I'd say certainly not in those areas that are already underserved and unserved and struggling in that regard. That's where the state's broadband grant program comes in and where the FCC's funding programs come in. Essentially, providers don't find that there's sufficient return on investment to build out to those higher cost to serve areas, be able to provide service and be able to make that investment. And so they may seek grants or other funding sources to meet that delta or gap.
We're talking
in those areas of the state.
We're talking about Wisconsin's Public Utilities with Christy Nieto and Martin Day. They're division administrators for the Public Service Commission. Let's bring in another call, another question. Tom is with us from Green Bay. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. My question is, a pipeline, natural gas pipeline, went in northeastern Wisconsin about 10 years ago, and I noticed it skirted the Oneida Tribal Reservation. And I'm interested in some comments between the powers between FERC versus tribal lands.
Tom, thank you. Martin, couldn't you field that?
Yeah, I can't speak to the specific project that he's mentioning, that Tom's mentioning. There's a weird dynamic, as he mentions, between the interstate pipelines and the intrastate pipelines. Obviously, the intrastate pipelines, which are primarily run by the utilities to provide service to customers, those are the utilities that the Public Service Commission regulates. To his question about relationships with federal agencies and tribal organizations, I can't really speak to that. That's not an area that the Public Service Commission regulates.
Martin, earlier this month, the commission estimated Wisconsin utilities would cut carbon emissions by nearly 40% in the next 6 years. How exactly would that happen?
Yeah, so this is an area where things really are dynamically changing. And a lot of the provisions or a lot of the proposals and applications that we have before the Public Service Commission are around utility scale solar projects. That's an area where the utilities, hearing from customers primarily, at the desire of customers, utilities are really responding and changing over their generation fleet from, natural gas and coal generation plants to a lot of wind and solar plants. So if you look at the dockets before the commission, the utilities and other groups are really investing heavily and proposing a lot of solar projects. And the commission has approved a number of large-scale solar projects in the state. We anticipate that those requests will continue to come before the commission.
Well, to that end, let's bring in Mark in Wisconsin Dells with a question on solar. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have two questions, basically. One is really a comment. Which is, there are several incentives for installing solar panels, and I think it's really unfair that in some areas the buyback is the same as what a person is charged. In my area, I get 3 cents back, and I paid 13, and I don't think that's fair. I think it ought to be uniform statewide. And the second question is, in order to save CO2 emissions, why can't we just turn off all of our lights at night in the towns and not be able to see ourselves from space?
All right, Mark, thank you. Christy, can you address the incentives on solar? I think
and I I wonder if when Mark is talking about his buyback, if that is something, Martin, would you want to address in terms of the rates from the utilities?
Yeah, I can probably, it's a good question, Mark, and it's an area where the commission has heard loud and clear from the public and a lot of different groups. To that end, a number of months ago, the commission opened a parallel generation generic investigation. So this is an area where the commission is going out and asking for comments from all the different stakeholders in the energy industry, because they know, buyback rates and parallel generation, the items you mentioned. This is an area that's evolving, and it's an area where the commission, through the generic investigation, is really looking for a lot of input to understand and ultimately at some point, make future decisions on that.
Well, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kate. It's been great.
Christy Nieto and Martin Day are division administrators for the State Public Service Commission. Coming up, we have Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. The state cap continues after this news update on the Ideas Network.